Welcome to Beauty and the Beast, a romantic tale of enchantment by Joan Garner, based on the French fairy tale.
I'm Abella, and I am playing Covet. Covet is a physically attractive but unpleasant in personality. She wears a simple dress of the late 18th century in nature color, white stocking and soft slippers.
I'm Mr. Handy, and I'll be narrating and playing the part of Chantel. Chantel is physically attractive, but unpleasant in personality. She wears a simple dress of the late 18th century in neutral colors, white stockings, and soft slippers.
I'm Angela, and I'm playing Beauty. Beauty is a generous and loving, although stubborn in your opinion. She is kind and learns to be more open-minded. Beauty wears a simple century dress of the period with lace around the collar and half sleeves. The dress should be cream or light brown, nothing loud.
I'm Sergio, and I'm playing Charles. Charles in his mid-teens. He's unsure of himself, but always eager to please. Charles wears a tattered brown long coat and tan waistcoat. His shirt should be simple with no frills.
I'm Owen, and I'm playing Papa. Papa is an honest man of his word. He loves his children and worries about them. Papa wears a red hunting coat with a yellow waistcoat.
I'm Ben. I'm playing the part of Beast. The Beast is sullen but tender of heart. His beastly presence should be shown in his size and features, but his gentle nature should be shown in his manner. The beast is the best dressed of all. He wears a loose, frilly shirt with lace at the collar and sleeves.
Set. The play has two settings that mirror one another. At stage right is the country house scene. A table and chairs sit in front of a fireplace, and a larger, more comfortable chair sits down right from the table. At stage left is the castle scene. A table and chair sit in front of a grand fireplace, and a larger, more comfortable chair sits down left from the table. Where the country house scene is light and airy, the castle scene is dark and heavy. Rise of scene. Winter, France, 1765. Lights up over the country house scene. Sisters Cavette and Chantel enter from stage right. Both are physically attractive, but unpleasant in personality. They are moping and sad.
Oh, look. My pitiful hands are so plain and neck. I once have 6 diamond and ruby rings on my fingers.
Remember the gorgeous diamond necklace I wore around my neck?
And we wore such lovely dress, blue and pink and green, silks with delicate lace and gold braiding. We weren't forced to don these awful rags.
Oh, why did Papa have to lose all his money? It was so irresponsible of him to put us in this state of poverty. Enter Beauty, stage right, carrying a basket of potatoes. Beauty is generous and loving. Although stubborn in opinion, she is kind and learns to be more open-minded.
You're not wearing rags, dear sisters. They are respectful, simple dresses, as for jewelry. While gems and jewels are nice to have, but nothing we can't live without. Perhaps if you helped with the cooking and house chores a little more, you wouldn't have all this time on your hands to whine and complain.
Listen to Beauty. It sounds as if she enjoys our plight. You can't tell me you don't miss all the fine things we once had. The many servants waiting on us hand and foot, and all the rich gentlemen callers who appeared at our doorstep?
Of course I miss the servant and the finery and the attentive men, but it's all gone now, and all we can do is make the best of our present situation.
Beauty places the potatoes beside Cavette.
Here, Cavette, I'm certain peeling these potatoes will help get your mind off your misery.
Beauty reaches over and takes a coat that has been hanging on a large chair.
And Chantel, I'm quite confident all your worries will vanish once you begin mending Papa's coat. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have laundry to do.
Beauty exits stage right.
Here, Kavit, I'm certain Pillins' potatoes will help get your mind off your misery. I hate her.
She's so good and beautiful.
Our precious beauty. I know what I had to do to our precious beauty.
Chantel smiles at Kavit, and they break out in a wicked laugh. Beauty enters from stage right with a basket of clothes.
The mending basket is in my room, Chantel.
I know, you're not our mother, Beauty. Stop acting like you are. Enter Charles, stage right, with a slab of bacon. Charles is in his mid-teens. He is unsure of himself, but always eager to please.
I hope this bacon tastes good. It's the first piece of meat I have ever smoked. It seems to have kept all right in the cellar.
I'm sure it will taste delicious, Charles. We will have it as a special treat tonight for supper.
Special treat? It is only bacon.
It's not only bacon. It's meat that Charles have cured with his own two hands. At least he's helping this family through these hard times. What are you doing?
Papa Lamar enters stage right, holding a piece of paper high in the air. Papa is an honest man of his word. He loves his children and worries about them. Papa is excited.
Children, I have wonderful news. I just received word that one of my ship brought lost at sea has reached the port.
Will we be rich again, Papa?
No, dear child, Chantel. I'm afraid we'll never be as rich as we once were. But the profit from the cargo on this ship should help pay all my debt. I may even have enough to bring home a few presents.
Presents? Oh, Papa, I have like a new silk dress. Lots of silk dresses.
And I want a big bottle of perfume, the biggest bottle you can find.
Yes, we'll see. And you, Charles, what would you like?
Perhaps new gloves to work in the stable with.
Yeah, they're yours, son. And you, Beauty, what can I bring home to my Beauty?
I don't need anything, Papa. Just bring yourself back to us as safe and well. That's all I want.
Bless you, but surely there must be some small token or trinket I might get for you.
Well, if you happen upon one, I'd like one perfect rose.
A rose may be hard to find in the middle of winter, but I shall try. Goodness, I must pack and leave for the harbor city as soon as I can. Come help me, children.
Beauty, Charles, Kavit, and Chantel follow Papa off stage right. The lights slowly go down over the country house scene. There is a crack of thunder, and the lights splash as if lightning. The sound of a fierce storm with wind and rain is heard over the stage, and there are one or two more thunder cracks and lightning bolts. When the sound of the storm dies down, the lights in the castle scene come up, but the lighting over the castle scene is not as bright as it was over the country house scene. After a beat, Papa enters stage left. He has put on a scarf and hat for his trip. Papa looks about the place, then he speaks out, hoping the proprietor will hear him.
Hello. It was stormy outside and your door was unlocked, so I let myself in. I hope it's all right. I've lost my way in this wood. Hello, you have a beautiful castle here. Have I happened upon a duke or lord? My name's Lamar.
Papa stops at the table as he sees a note there placed with a plate of food and a flagon of drink. At the center of the table is a vase of roses. Papa picks up the note and reads it out loud.
Share my food and drink and warm yourself by the fire, but take nothing here from here upon leaving. Your most gracious, thank you, whoever you are.
Papa sits down and begins to eat. The lights of the castle scene fade to black as the lights on the country house scene come back up to full. Kavit, Chantel, Beauty, and Charles enter stage right. Beauty and Charles seem very worried. Kavit and Chantel, not quite as much.
Where could Papa be? He should have been home long before now.
You mustn't worry yourself so, Charles. I'm sure there's a simple explanation. Maybe Papa's business has taken him longer than he expected, or he decided to wait out the storm in a roadside tavern.
I hope that's all it is. I'm going to wait in the stable. You can see the road better from here.
Charles exits stage right. Admit it, Beauty. You're just as worried about Papa as Charles is.
Yes, I'm very worried, but I couldn't show poor little Charles how concerned I am. I only hope Papa has found his way out of this terrible storm.
Me too.
Why, Kavet, you are worried for Papa too? I'm touched.
Well, of course we're worried for Papa. What do you take us for? Uncaring? Selfish pigs?
I'm sorry. My remark was cruel and unwarranted. I apologize.
That's better.
I think I'll join Charles and wait for Papa in the stable.
Beauty exits stage right.
Besides, if Papa is out in the horrible rain, it probably means our new dress are getting all wet.
Kavet and Chantel exit out stage right as the lights to the country house scene go down and the lights to the castle scene come up. Papa stands and calls out once more.
That was a splendid dinner. Thank you, whoever you are. As it sounds like the storm may have died down a bit, I will take my leave. Thank you again.
Papa begins to leave but notices the vase of roses on the table. He steps over to them.
A rose, how wonderful. Oh, whoever did he come upon rose this time of year, since they're already cut, I'm sure he wouldn't mind if I took one home to Beauty.
Papa lifts a rose from the vase and turns to leave, when the beast enters stage left, roaring and towering over him. The beast is sullen but tender of heart. His beastly presence should be shown in size and features, but gentle nature in his manner.
What are you doing?
Startled and scared to death, Papa stumbles away and huddles behind a large chair.
Dear God in heaven, I share my food and shelter, and this is how you repay me, by taking one of my precious roses. No, I please. I thought you wouldn't mind. I would have asked for the rose if I had only known you were within these walls.
The roses are from my garden. They're the only true beauty in the entire estate. To lose even one is like losing a child.
Papa cautiously stepping out from behind the chair.
Then I know you understand why I wanted it, Your Majesty.
I was a king, and the title Majesty fit quite well. But as you can see, I am no longer a king. What am I now?
What are you now?
You have eyes, man. You can see what I am. Who stands before you?
Well, with all due respect, sir, you are a beast.
Then call me Beast.
Yes, sir. Yes, Beast. I am Lamar, a simple merchant.
You said I will understand. Understand what?
Why I took the rose, you see, it wasn't for me, but for my children. My beauty, dresses were plentiful enough to buy one for Kavet, and a bottle of perfume easily found for Chantel. But I was having a most difficult time finding a rose for my dear beauty.
You have a daughter named Beauty?
Yes, sir. She was the most beautiful gift her mother and I have ever received. So we named her Beauty, and true to her name, she grew more lovely and beautiful with every passing day. Might you allow me to take home this perfect rose for my beauty?
Quite impossible. You disobeyed me, and by law, you must die for it.
Die? But surely.
The beast grabs Papa's neck.
Say no more. Pleading will not help you here. This court condemns you to death.
It's most unjust law.
The beast releases Papa from the stranglehold.
But law is law.
Yes, I broke your law, and I will pay the punishment for it. But before I die, might I be granted with one final request?
And that request?
Allow me to go home one more time to say goodbye to my family. If I can see them and say farewell, I will gladly return to face my punishment.
Very well, but mark my words, if you do not return to this castle, I will kill everyone in your family. Do you understand?
Yes, please. I understand. You can see, I can see you are a very powerful monarch and a person of your word. I am a man of my word as well. I promise to return.
Be back by nightfall, tomorrow night.
By tomorrow night? That barely gave me enough time to travel here and back.
By nightfall tomorrow night, or your family will die.
I will be back by then.
Papa begins to exit stage left.
Old man.
Papa stops and turns back to the beast.
Yes, sir.
Since you are to pay the ultimate price for stealing the rose, you might as well take it to your beauty.
Papa taking the rose.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Sadly, Papa exits stage left.
As my name is Beast, her name is Beauty. She must be a lovely vision to behold to have such a name.
The beast roars in anguish as he exits stage left. The lights dim on the castle scene and then come up on the country house scene. And that will be all for this week of Beauty and the Beast. Tune in next week to hear the rest of the story.
Ding, ding, ding.
Welcome back to part two of the radio drama Beauty and the Beast. Here's our cast to reintroduce themselves.
My name is Sergio, and I'm playing Charles.
I'm Angela, and I'm playing Beauty.
My name is Owen, and I'm playing Papa.
My name is Abella, I'm playing Covet.
My name is Ben, I'm playing the part of the Beast.
And I'm Mr. Handy, I'll be playing the part of Chantel, as well as the narrator. Here we go, part two, Beauty and the Beast. Scene, the country house. Cavette enters behind Chantel on the right. They are both yawning and stretching.
Good morning, Chantel.
Good morning, Cavette.
Sleeping well?
Not so well. The thunder and lightning kept waking me up. Beauty enters, helping a very tired Charles to the large chair.
Here, Charles. The chair will be more comfortable than the wooden stools in the stable.
Were you two out in the stable all night?
Yes, we stayed awake all night thinking we could see Papa coming down the road, but we didn't.
Papa enters with open arms.
My dear children, I've missed you so.
All go to Papa. Beauty hugs Papa.
Papa, we were so worried.
But I'm fine. Charles, my boy, you look tired.
I stayed up all night waiting for you.
I'm sorry, my trip home took an unexpected turn.
Were you caught in the storm, Papa?
Yes, I was, but I was able to find shelter in the woods.
In the woods?
If you two young ladies want to take the chunk of the meal outside, I think you might find some pretty dresses and a perfume in it.
Cavette and Chantel scream in delight and rush out stage right. Papa sits in the large chair after pulling out a pair of gloves from his pocket.
Your gloves, Charles.
Charles, taking the gloves.
Thank you, Papa. They're fine, very fine. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And for you, Beauty?
He carefully pulls the rose out of his coat.
Your rose.
It is a beautiful rose, Papa, but you didn't have to.
Please, take it. It cost me dearly.
What do you mean? What's wrong, Papa?
Cavette and Chantel come waltzing in, swishing their new dresses in the air and dancing about with them.
Isn't it divine? And the lace, look at the fine lace. It just has to be imported.
See how nicely the color matches my eyes? Oh, Papa, you're the best Papa in the whole world.
Thank you, Papa. I love you so much.
Yeah, me too. Cavette and Chantel kiss Papa on the cheek and dance and sing around the room again with their dresses.
Sister, please, something is wrong.
Cavette, sniffing the bottle of perfume in her hand.
Wrong? What could be wrong?
Papa was about to tell us.
Did your business not fare as well as you had hoped, Papa? Are they going to take away our dresses again?
No, you may keep your dresses, I promise.
There is something about this rose. It's strange in a way, but I couldn't say how. Papa, where did you find a rose in bloom this time of year, and being out of season and all? Did you get it from a greenhouse or conservatory?
Last night, on my way home, a big storm came up. I was in the middle of the woods, and with the light of the moon disappear behind the rain clouds, I lost my way. However, I managed to find a refuge in a castle. It was a magnificent castle, yet particular and forbidding at the same time. I had not known it was there before.
What castle? Where?
Out there. It was very hard to find. I hope I'm able to find it again.
Why again?
Because I must go back.
Why?
I made a promise to the beast.
Beast?
Yes, but not like any other animal we are accustomed to. He stood tall like a man, but fur was all over his face. He talked eloquently like a man, and his eyes were that of a man's. But the rest still were animal's parts. Horns, claws, fangs, horrible.
Whatever must have happened to him?
I don't know.
It sounds as if he was cursed by an evil witch or wizard. If this is so, Papa, you best stay away from the beast.
Chantel is right, Papa. If you go back there, you might be turned into a beast as well.
But I must go back.
Why?
I gave my word. The beast allowed me into his castle and shared his food with me, but warned me not to take anything from there. But when I saw the vast of robes on the table, I thought of beauty and took one to bring home to her.
This rose?
Yes, that rose. The beast was very angry. I had broken the law, so now I must return to face my punishment.
What is the punishment, Papa?
Yeah, my dear children, I have been sentenced to death.
No, it can't be.
Just for taking a rose? Say it isn't so.
I won't allow it. I will go kill the beast myself.
No, no, son. Just as a beast must be enchanted and cursed, so can he enchant and place spells on us. If I don't return, he will kill us all.
Can we talk to him if we reason?
I try to reason with him, but the law is the law. He has permitted me to return home and say goodbye, but now I must go if I plan to take it back to the castle by nightfall.
Beauty crying.
Oh, Papa, no, this can't be happening.
Papa, standing and placing an arm around Charles.
You will be the man of the house now, Charles. Be good to your sisters.
Yes, Papa.
Cavette, Chantel, my pretty young ladies. You must put your new dresses and perfume to good use, and find yourself two handsome and rich husbands.
Cavette and Chantel weeping.
Yes.
Yes, Papa. Beauty, you must be strong for your brother and sisters.
Beauty embraces Papa.
I'll try, Papa.
Papa gently pushes Beauty away and steps back.
Goodbye, children. Know how much I love you.
All say goodbye, then Papa turns and exits stage right. Beauty falls into the large chair crying.
This dress doesn't seem as pretty anymore.
Poor Papa. What are we going to do without him? Beauty, raising her head in determination.
We're not going to do without him.
What?
I've got to do something. I can't let Papa die.
Reaching for her cape.
He took the rose from me. It's my fault Papa's in this terrible trouble.
But Beauty, what can you do?
I'm going to follow Papa to the castle and meet with this beast. If you let Papa return to us to say goodbye, there must be some good in him. Perhaps I can find this decency and change the beast's mind about Papa.
But he may change you into a beast as well.
He may. I'll just have to take that chance. Come, Charles, and help me saddle my horse. If we hurry, I can catch up to Papa and follow him.
Charles and Beauty exit stage right.
Wait for us.
Cavette and Chantel scurry out stage right as the lights dim over the country house and come up over the castle. Papa enters.
Beast, Beast, I have returned like I promised, and before nightfall, I trust that you will keep your word and let my family live.
Your family will live.
Startled, Papa swings around to find the Beast sitting in the large chair.
Oh, I didn't see you there.
Say your eyesight must be failing you, for I am one that is hard to miss.
Well, do you with me what you will, Beast.
Beast standing.
Did you give your beauty the rose?
Yes, but she would rather not have the rose than to have me pay for it with my death.
Beast wrapping a hand around Papa's neck.
The law is law.
Beast, Beast, a moment please. If you will, as long as I'm going to die, may I ask what will happen to me after my heart stop beating?
After?
Yes, as you are a beast, is it your intent to eat me?
Beast releasing Papa.
Eat you? I kill animals to eat. Do you not do the same?
Yes, I suppose I do. But you, like you say, there are animals.
I will not eat a man.
Ah, this is confronting thought at such a time. Thank you.
The beast takes Papa in a stranglehold once again and begins choking Papa until Beauty rushes in from stage left.
No, don't, please. You mustn't. I beg of you, please spare my father.
The beast releases Papa and quickly turns his back while Beauty hurries to embrace Papa.
Papa, are you all right?
Beauty, what are you doing here? It's much too dangerous. Run away before it's too late.
No, I won't leave you, Papa. This is all my fault. If I hadn't asked for the rose, you wouldn't be in such trouble.
It doesn't matter.
It matters to me.
Beauty steps towards the beast.
Beast, sire, may I speak to you, please? I must speak to you on behalf of my father. Please, sire.
The beast turns to Beauty. Beauty steps back with a slight gasp upon seeing the beast, but quickly regains her composure and goes on.
Sire, surely, there must be some other way to resolve the situation.
Your father broke the law here.
Yes, I know. I'm not saying that my father shouldn't pay for his crime, but to be put into death, is there not another choice?
I might consider.
Yes, whatever it is, anything.
I will let your father return to his family, but you must stay here with me.
That is out of the question, Beast.
Papa, please.
Beauty to the Beast.
How long would I have to stay here?
Forever.
No, take me, kill me.
No, I'll stay. If it won't stop you from killing Papa, I'll stay with you, Beast.
Agreed.
The Beast quickly grabs Papa and carries him out of the room, stage left, under Papa's protest.
Papa, wait.
Papa on his way off.
Beauty, I love you.
Beauty sobs as the Beast returns.
You didn't even let me say goodbye.
I wanted to spare you the pain of a long goodbye.
Spare me the pain? You wanted to see me cry, that's all. You're a horrid beast, and I can't stand the sight of you. If I must spend the rest of my day here, let it be alone. I do not wish to be with anyone so cruel as to keep a family apart.
I am not cruel, but there are rules that must be obeyed within this enchantment. Well, all is lost.
Is one of the rules to kill? For if it is, this is not an enchanted place, but a wicked and evil one.
There is enchantment, and there is survival. Until the one is broken, the other cannot be changed.
What would you have of me then?
I want nothing of you, but perhaps your friendship.
How can I be your friend if I am your prisoner?
You are not a prisoner here. You may go in any room you wish and explore the castle grounds whenever you like.
But I cannot go beyond the castle gates.
This was the deal you made. Are you hungry? Food is plentiful here. Some fresh fruit, perhaps?
Don't be silly. It's in the middle of winter. There is no fresh fruit this time of year.
How can you look at this bedeviled face before you and not believe there can be fresh fruit here?
What happened to you? How did you become a beast?
You mustn't ask such questions of me, for I cannot answer them, but we may speak of other things, whatever you want.
Do you know of the world? Have you knowledge of all the faraway and wonderful places I've heard people tell of?
Yes, not to boast, but I am quite a learned individual. I have been to many exotic places and have met many a fascinating soul on my travels.
Would you tell me of these?
Nothing would give me greater joy, sweet beauty. And after you dine each evening, there will be entertainment.
What kind of entertainment?
Music, stories. Do you like stories, beauty?
Very much.
Then one evening, I will tell you a story. And the next evening, you may tell one to me. Does this appeal to you?
And what do we do when we run out of stories?
I will read to you. There are many libraries in this castle, with thousands of books. You will never be bored. Dear Beauty, I promise you that.
Beauty, thinking it over.
Will you tell a story now?
Pleased, the beast cups his hands behind his back and begins telling Beauty a story as they exit stage left.
Once upon a time, long, long ago, in a land of green grass and honeysuckle, there roamed a various knight and his squire.
The lights dim on the castle scene and come up on the country house scene. Papa enters stage right and sits in the large chair to review some business papers he has. Charles, Cavette, and Chantel enter. Charles crosses over to sit on the floor by Papa. He is whittling on a stick. Cavette enters holding a mirror, and Chantel comes in with a comb. Cavette and Chantel are wearing their new dresses.
Do you think this blush is too heavy, Chantel?
Heavy? No, not if you're a clown.
You are so amusing, Chantel.
Cavette sits at the table and uses a handkerchief to remove some of the blush. Chantel also sits. What do you think of my hair up like this? Does it make me look more sophisticated?
It makes you look old.
Displeased, Chantel takes her hair down. How did your business dealings go this month, Papa?
Very well, Chantel. I dare say the company brought in a great profit this month than in the month before, and the month after that. So I thought it's quite impossible.
Will we soon have enough money to move back to the city?
We have enough money for that now, but we can never move from here.
Why not?
What if Beauty were to return? We can't have her coming home to an empty house. How would she know where to find us?
Charles is right. We must stay and here for when Beauty come home.
Cavette, crossing over to Papa.
Papa, I know how much you miss Beauty. We miss her too, but it has been 3 months. I don't think she is coming back.
Yes, she is. She will be here as soon as she can escape from the beast.
Chantel, crossing over to Charles. Charles, there's no escaping the beast. You've heard Papa tell of this horrid monster. He is powerful and magical. How can Beauty ever hope to win against the beast?
Still, we will stay here. For a while at least. But I don't want to deprive your girls of your happiness. If you want, why not plan a vacation on the city? I promise to sponsor the trip.
Oh, thank you, Papa. That will be grand.
We'll go tomorrow.
Tomorrow? There is so too much to do. Too much to plan to go tomorrow.
All right, but we'll leave as soon as we can. Will you be coming with us, Charles?
I don't know.
Oh, you must. You must see the signs of the city.
Cavette and Chantel drag Charles off stage right. Papa chuckles at the girls' excitement and follows them off. The lights dim on the country house scene and come up on the castle. The beast enters. He has a blindfold over his eyes, and his arms are extended out that he may find his way. Beast calling out.
Beauty, where are you? Beauty, you can't hide from me.
He swipes at the air.
She's really very good at this.
The beast lifts up the corner of the blindfold as if to peek out, then puts it back and returns swiping at the air.
Come now, I am beginning to feel ridiculous.
Beauty enters stage left and hides behind a large chair. The beast fumbles his way to the table and grabs a chair.
Aha, I have got you.
Feeling the chair.
Oh, I seldom ponders.
The beast replaces the chair and continues feeling his way through the room. It's difficult for Beauty to keep herself from laughing out loud. Mischievously, she sneaks up behind the beast and taps him on the back of the shoulder. When the beast swings around, Beauty moves to the other side.
There you are, Draft! There you are. I think I like the hide and go seek game better than this one. Mercy, Beauty, take pity on this tired old beast.
Beauty taps him on the back of his shoulder again. The beast swings around, but just as Beauty begins to move away, the beast grabs her, and they tumble to the ground laughing.
It took you forever to catch me that time.
Beast removing his blindfold.
Oh my, I'm quite out of breath. What a perfectly absorbed game.
Oh, you like playing it.
Beauty tickles him.
Come on, Confess. You like to play my game.
Alright. I like playing game. Stop now.
The beast holds Beauty to keep her from tickling him. Once they both stop laughing, they stay in the embrace for a moment, both looking at each other with an endearing glance. But this bothers Beauty, and she breaks from the beast to stand and step away.
This was the most strenuous game. I'm all flushed.
Beast rising.
Beauty.
You were right, Beast. We'll do much better if we play hide and go seek.
Beauty, I love you.
Love me? Oh dear. Now who is speaking of the ludicrous?
From the moment I met you, all of this day that you have been with me, I have loved you. Will you marry me?
You want me to marry you? No, that is impossible.
Why? Have you not come to care for me a little? If you are to remain here with me for the rest of our lives, why not have it be as husband and wife?
You could never be husband and wife.
Never? Does my touch offend you so?
Oh no. To the contrary, I have come to like your touch, and I hate myself for liking it. I have become very fond of you. Beast, you are kind and wise and fun to be with, but...
But I am a beast.
Yes.
Beast, hurt and dejected.
Well, it's getting late. I will say goodnight.
Beast.
The beast exits.
Beast, please, oh... Why must things be the way they are, poor beast?
Beauty sits in the large chair, frustrated. She ponders a moment, then looks strangely. She looks about the room and becomes frightened.
Beast, beast!
The beast re-enters and Beauty goes to him.
What is it?
Oh, beast, something is wrong. It's Papa. Something is very wrong. I can feel it.
But Beauty...
He hurt or sick. Yes. That's what it is. My papa is sick. Beast, he's dying. I know he's dying.
Beauty weeps in the beast's arms.
There, my love.
My papa is dying, and I can't go to him. I can't be there to tend and comfort him. Now he will never know how much I think of him and how much I love him.
Don't cry now, Beauty. Your papa will know how much you love him.
But how will he know this if I must stay here?
Because I release you of your promise. You may go to your father.
Beast, you will do this for me?
I cannot bear to see you sad and crying. Go home to your family. These castle gates will never close on you again.
Thank you, Beast. Thank you for letting me go. I must hurry before it's too late.
Beauty begins to leave, but turns back to the beast one more time before rushing out. The beast looks lost. When he approaches the table, he is overcome with rage and slams his fist down on the tabletop. Then the beast slumps to his knees and buries his head in his arms. An agonizing roar comes from deep inside him as he rises and stumbles out stage left. Lights dim on the castle scene and come up on the country home. Cavett and Charles enter stage right, helping Papa come in. They ease him into a large chair and place a blanket over his lap. Chantel follows from behind with a bottle and spoon.
Sir, Papa, are you comfortable here?
Yes, I feel nice to be sitting.
Please take your medicine, Papa. The doctor said...
I know what the doctor said. The medicine will do a little good.
If you won't take your medicine, at least have something to eat. I could make a soothing brew for you.
Bless you, Cavett. Your children have been so good to me, but I know it's of only thing that could make me feel well again.
I know, Papa, but we can bring Beauty home to you, no matter how much we wish for it or how much we pray.
Beauty joyfully rushes in, stage right.
Papa, dear Papa.
Beauty goes to Papa and they embrace.
Beauty, is it really you?
It's really me, Papa.
Oh, my Beauty. Now I can get well knowing you're being here with me.
However did you escape from the beast?
I didn't escape. The beast released me from my promise.
Why?
I knew there was something wrong. I felt in my heart that Papa was sick. So the beast released me from my promise so I could come home to see Papa.
To me, the beast must be of a kinder nature than he was before.
He is Papa. He's very kind and good to me.
A beast kind?
He's more than just kind. He's smart and gentle. He lets me win all the games we play. He reads to me. And we talk of faraway lands and magical kingdoms. He's become my best friend.
Gosh, Beauty, to hear you talk, it sounds like you're in love with this beast.
Love him? No, I...
Beauty, come here.
Beauty sits on the floor next to Papa.
Love is a precise gift anyone can receive. You must hold on to it as tightly as you possibly can and cherish it, because true love doesn't come to all. You must accept it and embrace it no matter where it comes from. If you love this beast and he loves you, then your place is with him.
But Papa, you're ill.
My illness came from my thinking you were miserable and unhappy, having to stay in the castle with a horrible beast. But I see by the shine of your eyes that this creature has made you happy, and you told us that he is good to you. I worry that he was not. As long as I know you are happy, I will be well.
Oh, I do love him. I don't know how this can be, but I do.
You're crazy, Beauty, to love a beast.
Yes, to love my lovely, handsome beast.
Then it is settled. Our Beauty will visit with us for a day or two, then return to the castle and her beast.
Beauty, hugging Papa.
Thank you for understanding, Papa.
Beauty, come see my garden. I planted it myself.
Charles, you are becoming quite the farmer.
Beauty, Papa, Cavett, Chantel, and Charles all exit. The lights go down on the country house scene and come up on the castle. After a moment, the beast enters slowly. He appears sick and weak. He leans on the table and coughs, then sits in the large chair and holds his heart. His eyes close. Soon you hear Beauty approaching. She calls out to him.
Beast, beast, where are you?
Beauty enters and looks about the room.
There you are. Thank heaven. I miss you so much.
Beauty goes to the beast's side as he opens his eyes.
Beauty, you came back to me.
I couldn't stay away. Papa made me realize that this is where I belong now.
How is your father?
He's well again, thank you. Oh, beast, can you ever forgive me?
Forgive you for what?
For being so foolish. For dying my feeling for you. Beast, you are my life. You are my heart.
Sweet beauty, how I have longed to hear you speak these words. You have made me very happy.
But Beast, what's wrong? Why do you feel so cold and weak?
I am dying, Beauty.
No, you can't. I won't let you.
When you went away, there was nothing left for me. I didn't want to go on.
Beauty crying.
You must go on. I'm here, Beast, and I will never leave you again.
It will be better this way. How could I have ever believed you would want to be the wife of a beast?
But I do want to be your wife. I love you.
It's too late.
No, I won't believe that.
Please, turn away. I don't want your memories of me to be off my desk.
Beauty, holding on to him.
No, I want to stay with you.
Please.
The beast rises and stumbles out of the room, stage left. Beauty falls into the large chair, sobbing. She buries her head in the armrest, but doesn't notice that the lights have come up fuller over the castle, making the scene bright and alive. After a moment, a handsome gentleman, the Beast, enters. He goes to Beauty and kneels by her side.
Beauty, Beauty, my love, you mustn't cry. Beauty, look up and see me.
Who are you?
Don't you recognize me? Don't I seem familiar?
No, where did you come from? What have you done with Beast?
Beast is gone, Beauty. He's disappeared when you said, I love you. I have taken his place.
You?
When I was a young man, I was arrogant and mean. When I refused the shelter to an old woman, she turned me into a beast. And so I was to stay a beast until I could learn to love unselfishly, and I might earn another's love return. I thought it impossible for someone to love a beast, but then you came to my castle, and I began to hope that maybe. And here you have professed your love, and I am a man again.
I don't know what to make of this. I love the Beast because of who he is. You're like a stranger.
But I haven't changed the inside. You will see. We will start over. We can play games like we did before. Beauty, do you think you might learn to love me like you learned to love the Beast?
The eyes are the same still.
Beast, taking Beauty's hand.
And my touch. Isn't the touch the same? Could the Beast do this?
He kisses her tenderly.
Perhaps, if you told me a story.
He takes her arm in his and escorts her off stage left.
Once upon a time, there was a young prince who lived in a splendid castle.
And that concludes the radio drama of Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.